Sunday morning. I want to change that and just say there's something about Sunday night. What a beautiful, beautiful expression of worship to offer to a wonderful God. He is truly deserving of all of our praise. He's deserving of the best of our praise. So we're just so thankful for all of you who have come tonight and who have come up closer. I think it made a difference, Brother Alexander, that we all came a little closer and we blended our voices together. Thankful for all of our men and young men who have led us in our devotional services. It seems like you get up here a little early on Sunday night. It must be those prayers of the young men that keep us going. But we are just so thankful for everyone who is here. We're so appreciative of the message on this morning. Brother Gibbs has been doing an awesome job in the book of Revelation and helping us understand and get a greater appreciation for the victory that we have and has been given to us through this book of Revelation that we often shun and avoid because we don't understand everything in it. But he just said, read it. And I just believe if we keep reading, it'll help our understanding. Tonight, I want to look at the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. And the winds and the waves obey his will. And so they're blowing fiercely tonight. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in the tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. I really want to key in on verse number 10, where John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And from this passage, I would like to place the subject, the day of victory. The day of victory. If you don't mind, I know you might be a little tired. And you've had a busy week. You've cooked your Thanksgiving turkey and dressing. But if you wouldn't mind, take a 37-mile journey with me aboard a rickety and rockety fishing boat off the coast of Miletus. And as we bob and sway across the Aegean Sea, on the horizon is a volcanic and rocky island called Patmos. It is approximately 6 miles wide and 10 miles long. As we pull in to dock and disembark our vessel, we notice an old, frail man who awaits us at the gangplank. He is waving and smiling at us. And as we approach him, he greets us with a mild, wild smile, a hearty handshake, and a heartfelt embrace. We discover he's a faithful Christian, a disciple, an eyewitness of Jesus, an apostle of Christ. But he introduces himself as John, our brother and companion. He doesn't care about the fanfare of where he's been and what he's seen. He just wants us to know that I'm your brother. I'm your companion. And I'm in the tribulation, in the kingdom, in the patience of Jesus Christ. And when we ask him, why are you here on this island? He boldly and emphatically claims, I'm here because I preached the word of God without addition or subtraction. I'm here because I stood flat-footed and firm on the word of truth. I'm here for preaching in season and out of season. When they asked me to say that the emperor was Lord, I had to tell them that I serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There is no one greater than him. I told him there's no one greater than Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the Prince of the kings of the earth. I can't bow down to you because I've already submitted to him. I want to know, John, where'd you get your strength to remain strong in the face of adversity? How are you making it on this island and you've been guarded and treated like a common criminal? How do you make it from day to day and week to week and month to month and even year to year? I have trouble with my bills and I lose hard and I lose. My faith is shaken. John, how are you making it? The doctor tells me that they see something on my physical and I begin to get weak in my faith. John tells me, he said, that's because you're looking at your days wrong. He said, could it be that you come to church, but I go to worship? Could it be you're going to service, but I'm living to serve? You're looking at your days wrong, John. Let me help you. See, you might be coming looking to be entertained, but I wake up and I'm inspired. You might anticipate a service time, but I anticipate a service day. Could it be that you see this day as a day of recreation, but I see this day as a day of revelation? John would have us to know he has a weekly reminder, and we have a weekly reminder that tells us that we can triumph over our tragedy. John tells us we have a weekly appointment that gives us victory in our calamities. It's one day in the week that assures us of security in our circumstances. It's called the Lord's Day. The first day of the week, you might call it Sunday, but tonight I want to call it the day of victory. What is it about the Lord's Day that gives significance for our lives? I want you to know, first of all, this day was prophetically given by God. Oh, you might say, how can you say that? Well, Go back to Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15. In the beginning, after the fall of man, God gave a messianic prophecy about a day in which the head of Satan would be crushed. Watch what he says. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now I know he is prophesying about a seed. But the seed has got to come at a time. See, and when the fullness of time came, Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 4, God sent his son in the likeness of man, and he brought him to the seed of made under the law. Now, I want us to see now that seed has to come in time. And when he made that promise of the seed coming, I submit to you that one Friday, out on a skull-shaped hill, the seed of the woman was bruised. He was hung up on a cross, and he was hung, and they whipped him, and they beat him, and they nailed him to the cross. They're bruising the seed of the woman. That was Friday. On the Sabbath day, the seed rested in the tomb. But on the third day, the seed of the woman got up from the grave. Not only did he get up from the grave, he crushed. And at the same time, crushed the head of the serpent. I ran into a snake yesterday, and I stepped on him. And you know what I didn't do? I didn't step on the head. And although I crushed his body, he was still. So I had to go ahead and crush his head. See, on Sunday, Lord's Day, prophetically, God has said, on the day that Satan's head is crushed, that's a day of victory. Oh, David looked through the stream of prophecy in Psalms 118. Psalm 118, I thought I was going, I'm going to try to be as expeditious as I can, but Psalms 118 and verse number 22, David was looking down through prophecy. And he talked about a day, the day that the Lord has made. Watch now, he said, the stone which the builders refused is become the head of the corner. Now we need to understand when the stone the builders refused happened. And he says, is become the head of the corner. Verse number 23 says, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. The rejection of the stone is the Lord's doing. And watch here now. The Bible says in verse number 24, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will, I know we say it for worship service, and it's appropriate for us because this is the day that the Lord has made. Because when the stone was rejected and when it became the head of the corner, I'm sorry, I'm getting too happy here. That was the day that the Lord made. Now, let's go over to Matthew chapter 21. I believe that's where I want to go. In verse number 42, you remember that Jesus, as he is approaching his crucifixion, he talks about a parable of the wicked husbandmen. And the wicked husbandmen see the house owner's servants, and they kill his servants. Finally, the house owner said, I will send the son. And the son comes to the vineyard, and the husbandmen kill the son. And watch what Jesus says. Now, did you ever read the stone the builders rejected? The same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. Jesus wants them to know that when you crucify me, and they knew that he was talking about them. Oh, I wish I could tell you all about that. You keep reading that whole chapter. They will discover he is talking about them. And every Sunday, we come together not because of our own choosing of a day, but this is the day that the Lord has made. And I'm going to talk about that. We need to rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, so the first, I'm sorry here. He looked at that this day is a day that has been prophetically positioned by God. It's not anything that we came up with of our own wisdom. God looked from the beginning of time and saw a day he would make. And let me tell you something, there's no other day in all of human history that has the significance of the Lord's day. There are a lot of days on my calendar that hold significance and meaning and sentimentality. My wedding day, July 26, 1997. Y'all know I got to remember that. The birthdays of my three children are momentous, but pale in comparison to the Lord's day. The day of victory. I love Thanksgiving. To be around family and friends and eat and eat and eat. The day we ought to be most thankful for is the Lord's day, where we get to feast on his body and his blood, where we are fed from his word. Thank you, God, for the Lord's day. I tell you, I like to celebrate 4th of July, eating, barbecue, watching fireworks. But to be honest about it, some of my people weren't free on July 4th, 1776. But each Sunday in 1776, they could be free because of what Jesus did when he rose from the grave. Oh, it doesn't matter what it says on the calendar. We know we got freedom. Not even the Sabbath day given to the Jews is more significant than the Lord's day. Because the Sabbath was only given to a certain group of people, Jews, Israelites, to remind them of an event in their history, deliverance from Egypt. You look at Deuteronomy chapter 5, Moses called all Israel, said, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments One of those statutes and judgments was to keep the Sabbath day, but they were to keep it because they were brought out of Egyptian bondage. So that day is too limited in its scope for me. But the Lord's day, given to all people, to remind us of the deliverance given by Jesus Christ from the sins that held us all in bondage. There is no day in human history that has more significance than the Lord's day. And even time is separated between BC and AD because of the great day of victory. It's said after death, but I think it ought to be called after resurrection. The Lord's Day ensures God's people that we can overcome, that we are victorious over any circumstance we encounter. I believe John, banished on that Isle of Patmos, wasn't anxious about his situation, wasn't crying, wasn't writing letters to get him out. Because he served a risen Savior who had been in the grave and bounced back, that tells me he even proclaimed, I was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. That lets me know that you and I have bounce back ability. Your sinuses bothering you, you got sickness and flu. And let me tell you something. But there's a Sunday coming. And every Sunday lets me know it's going to be all right. Oh, I lost my grandmother this year, but Sunday still is coming. Every week lets me know that it won't last always. Lost a job. Sunday is coming, the day of victory. Even though you may not have a job and you still your unemployment check is delayed, you still have victory. Sunday say we can overcome. Whatever failures or setbacks I encounter through the week, I look forward to the Lord's Day. And each Lord's Day should be joyfully anticipated. And I would go to say, we need to have an expression of joy. John was in the Spirit. He was in communion with the Lord. Now I want us to understand what spirit he was in. He was oblivious to his surroundings and circumstances. His focus was not on why he was on Patmos, but who was with him while he was on Patmos. He could imagine and see what was beyond his circumstance. See, since he was in the Spirit, I just believe he was exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit. Whoever was guarding him received some love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Not only was he had exhibiting fruit of the Spirit, but I believe he was walking in the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, living in the Spirit. Oh, that we could be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. In other words, I don't have to push you to say amen, because you're already in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Song leader don't have to sing his voice out trying to get you to participate, because you're already on in the Spirit when you get here, when you woke up this morning, at whatever time, and you were in your right mind, you already knew that this was the The day of victory. In other words, I'm already stirred up. And all we're doing is stirring one another up, because we already come in the Spirit. And we ought to wholly and eagerly fulfill the day. Somewhere I read, John wrote, and the same day being the first day of the week at evening. I ain't trying to mess with you, but I'm trying to tell you something, that it was the Lord's day. And I think John wants us to know, we got to look at our days the right way. And this day ought to be set aside, consecrated for the total admiration and honor, even while you're going to eat your lunch. Amen. You step into Luby's, you ought to have the right spirit. You didn't get your order right. On the Lord's day.
If it catch you on another day, it might be something else. Might be something else.
But John, I just couldn't get past that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And brothers and sisters, we have victory because of this day. May we always keep our minds on that focus. If you're here, you're not a child of God, let this day be your day in which you come out of the clutches of Satan and be translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. You can do that tonight by having faith in Jesus, by repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus to be the Son of God, being buried in water for the remission of sins, and what he'll do is operate on you, give you the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. You can add to your faith all of these things. You can cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And every Lord's day, like John, you can be in the Spirit. Perhaps you have been looking at this day the wrong way. Just a checklist.
Amen.
Of things you want to get done.
Amen.
I don't want the elders calling me.
Amen.
Because I was
Amen. Absent.
No. Sometimes we need to just refocus and reset. You hear you stand in the need of prayer, we ask you to come right now as we stand, as we sing.
Number 480. I heard an old story, how our Savior came from glory, how he gave his life